You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are God in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in his righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I'll be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty.
Malachi means messenger, so we don't really know whether that book is a collection of messages or if it's from one person. I quite like calling the book the messenger because it comes alive to me, whereas Malachi seems, you know, familiar. And we've just heard a message from the messenger. And then later on, within the message from the messenger, there's another message. So that is the whole talk is about messages that God sends. And the whole of Malachi is about God sending his messages. So what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the people whinging, basically. So the people were whinging. What happens usually when people are whinging is they usually whinge to each other first. And then gradually they might get brave enough and they start whinging to God. So what were they whinging about? Well, they were whinging because they felt that others had got too much. So they were whinging to each other and they were saying, it's not fair. Now, I'm sure none of you ever do that. But, you know, I remember when my children were little, it was like, not fair, Mum. Everyone goes to bed after 9 o'clock. It's not fair, Mum. Everyone's watching that thing on television. Do you know that tendency, you know, that everyone else is doing it because that brings the power in behind your argument of it's not fair. They were going, it's not fair. God, you're blessing people who are sinning. So therefore, they had a big whinge going on. So what was God's response to this? Well, it was an interesting response. So when they complained that people were doing evil and they weren't still prospering, when they were complaining God was not a God of justice and they'd lost respect from God, which is the important thing, it wasn't just that they were whinging, it was that they now were doubting God as a God who's a just God. And so that was a key bit. So God says, he's weary of their complaining. Now, someone might discuss theologically whether God can be weary. I don't know the answer to that one. But in this passage, it said God was weary. He was basically, I've had it. I think sometimes, you know, when I'm whinging on to God in my prayer life, God is going, stop, Jackie, stop whinging and just listen to me. You know, God was weary. He was not happy with them complaining. He's saying enough is enough. So what's he say he's going to do? He said he's going to send a messenger. He's going to come himself and bring a refiner's fire. Now, this is not a punishment. It's not that sort of fire. It's not a destruction. It's not that sort of fire. It's the fire that's used on metal to make so that silver that's in the metal can be refined. So all the impurities come away and you get refined. So he says he's going to bring a refiner's fire. A fire that doesn't destroy, but purifies. And this is his message to them. He says, then after that, oh no, actually, I'm going to touch on something quickly here. There was a time when I was involved in church leadership, and we were doing really well. Now, how do you judge churches really well? Well, we tend to judge by numbers, don't we? You know, oh, we're doing really well. The first thing people ask church leaders, how many in your church? You know, that, they really mean how many come on Sundays, not how many in the church. But anyway, you know, you're doing really well. We were getting crowded out. We were in a church, in a school hall. We had a really fantastic band. In fact, we had a couple of bands. And so sometimes we had to get one band playing, then the other band playing. And it was easy to get a bit congratulatory, self-congratulatory, you know, quite proud of our church. And I was praying and God said to me, what are you building? Are you building wood, hay and stubble? Because it will be tested by fire. And it was a real challenge. And we actually took away a lot of the trimmings to say, God, we want to be authentic. We want to know what it is you're doing amongst us. We don't want to put a show on every Sunday. We want to serve you, God. We want to make a difference. This is important when we get to the next bit. Okay. And in Peter, it says your faith will be tested. You know, so it's not always about putting on entertainment. There's a testing of our faith. And many of us have experienced that at different times. And he started off with the temple leaders. So just a warning to our leaders, God often starts with you first. because there's that whole responsibility, isn't there, of being spiritual leaders and then a testing going on. So the judgment was against people that were witch doctors, the sorcerers, the judgment was against marriage breakers, the judgment was against liars, the judgment was against people who oppressed the poor, that was like the orphans and the widows at that time, and the judgment was against bad employers and people that were racist, that when a foreigner came through, they didn't open their house to them and give them food and welcome them. Now, a lot of the people that were doing this complaining, they were rather saying, look at us, we worship the one true God. They were overlooking the fact that perhaps some of these things they were doing because they weren't counting those. Because it's not just about saying I worship God. God's a lot more interested in how you're living your life tomorrow and the next day than he is about whether you can say, I've been to every Sunday for the last 20 years. Do you know? He's really much more interested in how you're living, how our life is, what's going on. So that's my sermon. How did I do? I didn't time myself. Is anyone timing me? Go back over the side. But I have something to talk about as well. I want to talk a little bit about this man. His name is Pastor Lamb. And Ian and I had the privilege of meeting up with him in China. Now, he had been put into prison for 20 years hard labor, because he refused to register his churches. Because if you registered them at that time in China, then they would tell you what you were to speak. They would control what you said. They would have spies in the congregation and they would be controlling what was happening. He was so convinced that he could only obey God and not these rules that he was prepared to sacrifice 20 years of his life in hard labor. He had a very hard, tough time. So Ian and I were out in Hong Kong and we had the opportunity to go to China. Ian's my husband, if those who don't know me. We had the chance to go to China. And so we went to China, and what with this team of people, some of the team had been taking Bibles into China. There's another story there, but I won't bore you with that at the moment. And we were in the hotel and they said, Pastor Lam has said that four people can go and visit him and see him. And so said, is anyone interested? And a group of us said we were. And I don't know who decided, but someone decided that four of us, which was a couple of friends of ours, and Ian and myself, we would be able to go and meet Pastor Lam. Excuse me. So we were given, a bit like Tony said last week when he was given an address on a piece of paper, we were given some Chinese hieroglyphics on a piece of paper. We had no idea what it said, and we were told to go as far away from the hotel as we could so that no one could see where we were going. And we were told to find the taxi and give the taxi driver this bit of paper. So we rather nervously, went walking out as far away as we could from the hotel. The reason being, the people that were there to host us, they said they will watch where you're going, they'll watch what's happening, so you need to be away from the hotel. And we gave the guy this piece of paper, and he drove off, and we've travelled with him, we don't know where. And then he stopped, and he pointed and pointed to like an alleyway and went, there, up there. So we sort of got out the car and scurried up this alleyway, not knowing where we were. It was through a sort of nighttime market with the lights on at night. And then someone suddenly just to the right of us came down some steps and called, come, come, come up here. So we thought, well, presumably they're expecting us, but it could have been anybody. So we scurried up these stairs, and then we went up some more stairs, and then we went up the final lot of stairs, and it was like an attic doorway. And we came up through this doorway thinking we were going into a room to meet Pastor Lam. Well, actually, we came up like in the front of the meeting. So we were already apprehensive, already feeling very embarrassed and shy. And suddenly we popped up on the floor, like me standing here now, in front of everybody. And Pastor Lam speaks English, and he greeted us, gave us greetings in the Lord, and said, take a seat, take a seat. The seats were wooden planks on some bricks. And of course, they were quite a lot smaller than us, especially my husband and my husband's friend. So the seats were very close together. So they both sat down with their knees sort of right underneath their chins. And then he carried on preaching. He was sitting down and talking, and it was a room full of young people, 100, 200 young people, something like that, in this room. And every time there was a Bible verse, he'd stop from Cantonese and tell us the Bible verse. Embarrassingly, we had no Bibles because we didn't realize we were going to a meeting. So we all nodded and said, thank you, and as if we knew it off by heart. And then he carried on preaching. At the very end, the meeting finished, and they went, and we were called to say, Pastor Lam would like to speak with you. So I'm in awe of this man because I knew his story. I knew the sacrifice he'd made. I'm expecting to meet a holy man, a spiritual purified holy man. And it was interesting because the first thing he was saying was he was laughing. And he was saying, oh, he said, I sit down when I talk, I sit down. And we said, why? He said, because they say I'm not allowed to preach. I will get arrested. Well, if I'm sitting down, I'm not preaching. So he was outwitting the authorities. And then he said, just on Sundays is the only time I stand up and then I preach, just to show them I can. And then he said, and then they come, he said, and they take our books, our Bibles and our song. He said, we just write it all out again. We just write it down again. We rewrite it. We can do this. You know, we're not going to be. And then his eyes were sparkly. He was smiling and laughing. To him, it was as if, you know, God is greater and we can outwit the authorities. Then he said, sometimes someone comes to me, they put up notices on the door to say that this is an illegal gathering. He said, some of my congregation, they come to me and say, Pastor, Pastor, we have torn the notice down. And he said, I say, don't tell me, don't tell me. Then I cannot say, I don't know who did it. So don't tell me. And so the time went on with him. Amazing, just telling his stories. And then he said, can you pray for me? Well, I'd gone there thinking, can you pray for me? And he said, can we pray for him? And we prayed for him. And then he prayed for us. Now, I knew at that moment, I've been in the presence of a holy man, but it totally changed my understanding of what is holiness. When you've been through the refiner's fire and it says you have a pure heart and you'll be holy, it doesn't mean to say you start wandering around with a halo on your head. I think there's a phrase that you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly use, you know. That isn't what holiness is. Holiness is where you can get up in the morning and you know that God is in control. Holiness is when you can smile at the people and they're serving you in the shop and you know that you carry something inside of you. And I'm telling you this story this morning because I'm longing that we don't come in this door and then go out the same people, but we come in this door and God changes us. You know, we're not just here to go to church. We're here to be changed by God. You know, Jesus only had 12 men and he turned the world upside down. We've got more than 12 people here. We can turn the whole of you all upside down if we want to, do you know, with the Holy Spirit living in us, with our lives being changed. And so I feel that that's really an important lesson I learned from this man. So this is something that just strikes me sometimes when we pray. And God, it does say in the Bible that God will give us the desires of our hearts. And I'm very up for praying for people to be healed and for life to be changed and things to be altered. But I think we often ask God to change our circumstances when God wants to use our circumstances to change us. I know the times I've grown the most has been the times when I've been my weakest, because I've run out of energy. I've always got a good idea. I've always got a plan. And you know, it's really good, isn't it, sometimes to think, actually, I haven't got any bright ideas. So if you're sitting in here this morning thinking, well, I'm useless, what can I do? Or I've hit a time in life where I'm such an age, I can't lift all the chairs for Simon or whatever. God has not finished with you. While you're still breathing, God has not finished with you. If you feel like you've got nothing to give, that is not true, because God has not finished with you. He wants to change you. And I'd like us to, just for the last bit of our meeting, we're going to sing a song in a minute, and I want us to sing. You know, sometimes we sing songs, and you hear me say this often, but they're quite dangerous songs. We glibly sing nice song, and they're quite a dangerous song. I want us to sing Refiner's Fire, Purify Us. That's quite a dangerous song, so don't sing it if you're not really saying, God, I want to be under you. But God isn't here to punish us. God isn't here to destroy us. God is here to change us, okay? Now, before we go into singing this song, I would like you just to ask your own heart. If I said to you before I started speaking, how many of you say you're holy, will you put your hands up? Can I see a show of hands? Come on. You see, we don't count ourselves as holy, and yet God has said we're holy. Don't worry about, you might think, oh, I didn't get this right, or I was a bit short-tempered, or I've got a lot of changes to be done in my life. But you are before God, you are holy, and you can pray that he will refine you, and you will find that it will change your life. You will find that things change. So I'd like, actually, Simon and I would like to be praying for you at the end, but I don't want to just sort of huddle up in a corner. I wonder if you'd like prayer at the end, if you'd be just prepared to just come and quietly sit in one of the front seats. If you're already in the front seat and don't want prayer, you better skedaddle. But you never know, you might get blessed. So we'll sing this song, and then if anyone would like prayer, could you just come and sit in the front seat? And just to have some prayer and encouragement, I think, before we walk out that door again would be great.